Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. So Isaiah chapter 9, we'll start in verse 1. I would invite you to follow along as I read aloud from the words that are part of the book that we love. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as people rejoice when dividing plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. You can probably imagine that in my profession, I have read that passage in this season more than a few times. It's a familiar passage to me. Maybe this is the first time you have heard this passage. Maybe you have read it once or twice or a couple times as well. This passage certainly contains those famous and familiar titles given to the one who will be born, describing the majesty of the one who will be born, verse 6. When I read this passage, there's another phrase that captures my attention. Maybe it catches your attention this morning as well. It happens right away in verse 2. Did you catch it? The people walking in darkness. Walking in darkness. What does it mean to walk in darkness? I would guess that if I had asked you to respond to that, we would get a whole bunch of different answers from a whole bunch of you. And my second guess is that we could bring all of those answers together and we could summarize walking with darkness by using one observation: that it's painful. That walking in darkness is painful. I would not have scripted this story any better if it were not true. I think sometimes God has an interesting sense of humor. Do you agree with that? I tell you the truth this morning. The story I'm about to tell you happened on the very same day that I initially sat down to study this passage in my office for this message. It was a day a couple weeks ago, and I think both Heather and I had some appointments in the morning, early in the morning, and so in order for me to get my run in that morning, I had to get up extra early when it was still very dark. Now, I have done enough running throughout Waukee. I can tell you where the sidewalks are uneven and where you need to pay attention and watch your footing. For example, south of the triangle on 6th Street, if you know where Old Station is, shout out to Old Station, across the street, that sidewalk, south of Old Station, that sidewalk goes up and down in such ways you think you're on a roller coaster at Adventureland. And if you're not careful, you can jam your foot into it such a way and jam up your back real bad. or around the, what was the five-way, now the roundabout, on the south side of Ashworth, when you go around Waukee Stadium, that section used to be terrible. Every 10 feet, there was a major dip, and thankfully, they fixed it this summer. Now, if we could just continue on into Centennial Park area, they would be complete. And so I'm aware of where the sidewalks are uneven. However, on this particular day, I was actually having some testing done on my blood work done, and so I was fasting. And it was also the day of my scheduled long run, which I put in quotes long run because I know some of your long runs are a lot longer than my long runs, but it was my long run. And so I was already pretty tired, fasting, long run, and by the end of my run, I was out of gas. I was fatigued. I had nothing left in the tank. I was dogging it, and my form certainly was suffering. I was not lifting my feet as I should, and it was dark. Now, the way that streetlights work is typically you can see shadows on the sidewalk when the sidewalks have a lip. I was tired. I was not paying attention. I thought I knew where I was because I was two blocks from home entering into an intersection when I was not paying attention and the sidewalk was much higher than I had remembered it, at least 2 inches. I ran the route again this week just to make sure, and it was sticking. I thought it was like this, but it must have been only sticking up like this. And I put my right foot smack dab straight into it. My left leg then, my next step, tried to catch myself, but to no avail because my right foot was still on the cement, and the next thing I knew, I was head over heels sprawling out into the middle of the street. And I laid there like this, looking up into the dark sky. And the first thing I did was, okay, nothing's broken. Good. Second thing was, who saw that? Because I was right in front of one of Judah's friends, his family's house. And I'm like, who needed to see that big guy just fall flat on his face in the middle of the street? Eventually, the third thing I thought of was, I hope there's no cars coming. They won't be able to see me at all. So I got up slowly. Notice I was leaving some skin behind. And I slowly trudged the last two blocks back home. Walking, or in this case, running in darkness, can be painful. What does walking in darkness look like to you? Perhaps it's the diagnosis that came out of nowhere that has now changed short-term or long-term plans. Or maybe it is the growing divide and estrangement that's happening in your family. Maybe walking in darkness is the job loss that we did not see coming or the changes at work that we do not appreciate and did not anticipate. Perhaps walking in darkness is the struggle we have each day with our own self-worth, our self-esteem, who we are and whose we are and our identity. Maybe walking in darkness is the loneliness we feel as we walk invisible through the hallways at school or in the suffocating silence at our home in the evening when we're by ourselves. Maybe walking in darkness is the addiction that we can't shake, whether it be pornography or alcohol or food or the applause of people. Or perhaps for us, walking in darkness is as simple as describing the daily battle that we have with sin, sin that has so captured us like a vice grip. Perhaps our walking in darkness, our answer to that question relates to some of the things we just mentioned, or maybe it's something altogether different. But either way, the reality is this. When we walk in it, when we walk in darkness over and over and over and over again, where we walk then is where we soon reside, where we live. And it says in our passage, the people walking in darkness. And it goes on to say, on those living in the land of the shadow of death. That's another way of saying, those living in the land of utter darkness. When we're walking and living in darkness long enough, it becomes overwhelming, it becomes overpowering, it becomes smothering and suffocating and all-consuming. And soon enough, we feel ourselves to be without hope. Before I go any further, let me pause here for a moment. If those last words accurately describe you, if this summarizes how you feel, if you sense this morning that you have been walking, living in darkness for so long that you feel without hope, please listen to me for a moment. Let me just name something. Listen close. I know that walking in darkness is hard. I know that it's painful. I know that walking in darkness is suffocating. It can feel overwhelming. I know what it feels like to feel like you've lost all hope. But hear this morning. Your life is worth living. If you are at a point where you feel hopeless and you don't want to, you don't think you can keep going, please, from the bottom of my heart, talk to me. Talk to me. It doesn't have to be me. Maybe talk to a trusted friend. Talk to a family member. Talk to an elder or a staff member here at Westview. Because friends, as hard as it gets, as dark as it might seem, life is always, always, always worth living. There's always another day worth living for. And so if this describes you this morning, please, let's talk. Yes? The people here in this passage, they can relate to what we're talking about. They understand. They have been dealing with oppression and pain for a long time. They have been walking in darkness. They've been living in a land that is in this darkness for so long that it feels like to them a shadow of death. And in our passage to them, God literally provides a glimmer of hope. In the darkness, God provides a light. And not just any light, but a great light, much more than a glimmer, a great light, a light that is like the dawning of the sun breaking forth over the eastern horizon, a light that's saying night is over and a new day has been born. And friends, tell me what light does. What do we know about light? John 1 verse 5 testifies, does it not? It says this, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. See, darkness does not, cannot, will not overcome light. And look again in this passage to who these words are directed to. For the people who are walking in darkness, for the people who are living in the land of darkness. Are you included in that this morning? For them, for you, for me, a light, a great light has dawned. And of all things, this great light has dawned in the birth of a child. This light that shines in the darkness is found in the Son who is given. The one who bears the weight of the government upon his tender shoulders. In other words, the light that is shining in the darkness is a child who reigns and who rules. A child who reigns as a counselor who is wonderful. A God who is mighty. A Father who is everlasting. A Prince who is peaceful. That's who he is, and this is how he reigns. This is the nature of his reign. Look at verse 7 with me. Of the increase of his government, meaning of the increase of his reign. Not just any reign, but a reign of peace. It says there will be no end. You see what that's saying? His reign is ever increasing. It's ever growing. It's ever expanding. There's no limits. He will establish and will uphold his reign, meaning that he creates his reign and he sustains his reign. And his reign is marked with justice and righteousness, meaning that he will do the right thing in the right way. And it is a reign that will happen now, in this moment, and forever, an eternal reign. The promise of this child who will come and who will reign and who will rule. This is the light that breaks forth amidst the darkness. This is the hope for those who know all too well what it's like to walk and to live in darkness. This is the promise of the one who will come and who will reign with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. Friends, this is hope for us. I think that's good news, yes? I hope you do as well. But I admit that that feels, and I do not know what the right word is. I still don't know what the right word is. That feels so meta-narrative, so big picture, so maybe out there. It's good news, don't get me wrong, but it feels so out there, like big picture. And the reality is that my toe hurts from kicking the upheavals of life that leave me sprawling and checking for broken bones. The reality is that right now, in this moment, I feel the suffocating stillness of darkness all around. What does this light in the darkness mean for you and me today, right now, in our lives, this moment, as we walk in darkness? Of all places in this passage, I'm going to have you go to verse 4. The hope for us who walk in darkness is like what happened in the day of Midian's defeat. What Isaiah is doing here is he's helping the people find hope for the future by remembering God's work in the past. The phrasing here of that Isaiah uses is he's saying, as in the day of Midian's defeat. Like he's saying, like what happened before with Midian when God provided victory despite overwhelming odds, Isaiah's saying it's going to be happening again. God's going to be at work again. And what is God going to do? It says he will shatter. That's a great word, isn't it? Shatter. That's a vivid word. When I think about shatter, I think about a vase that is smashed to pieces, so much so that you cannot glue it back together again. There's a finality to that. And Isaiah is testifying here that God shatters three times over. He will shatter, he will dash to pieces the yoke that burdens. Think of this as the heaviness that we carry. The things that weigh heavy upon our hearts and upon our souls. The burdens that bring us down. The pain, the grief, the sadness. Let me ask you, friends, do you know such heaviness as we walk in darkness? God will also shatter the bar across our shoulders. This is the image of a slave. One who is in bondage, a bar across the shoulders. One who is under the control of another, who is led over here by another and led over here by another. Someone who is not in control of their own decisions. Any of us, as we walk in darkness, ever feel like we're out of control? Isaiah names also that God will shatter the rod of their oppressor. The rod is an instrument of affliction and of punishment. And an oppressor is someone who kicks us when we're down, who beats us up when we're already battered and bruised. Do we ever find the darkness we walk in to be oppressive at times? Painful, as we mentioned earlier. Isaiah testifies here that the yoke that we carry, the bar that controls us, the oppressive affliction we endure, he says it will all be gone. As in the day of Midian's defeat, it will all be gone, and not just gone, but destroyed. It'll be shattered. For those walking in darkness, this is hope for us. For the promised child, the light that shines in the darkness, he is the one who tells us, take off what burdens you and take on my yoke. It's light. It's easy. This child that is promised, the one who is to come, the light in the darkness, he is the one whose death on the cross frees us from the slavery and the bondage of sin. The promised child who is to come, the light that shines in the darkness, he is the one who removes the oppressive rod, who removes the punishment of death and gives us new life. For you and for me and for all of us who are walking in darkness, this child, his name is Jesus, he is the hope for us in Christmas. His coming at Christmas is the great light of the world that dawns in the darkness that we walk in. And darkness, my friends, has no chance. With Jesus, darkness has met its match. Jesus overcomes the darkness we walk in. He shatters the yoke. He shatters the bar. He shatters the rod we face each and every day. Jesus is hope for us. And friends, the same hope that we claim here this morning is the same hope that we proclaim when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We mentioned earlier that today is the first Sunday of this season of Advent, a season of longing and of anticipation for Jesus to come. The reality, my friends, is that between Jesus' first and second coming, we are ever in a season of Advent. We wrestle and we grapple with the things that are not the way that they were intended to be, and we're longing for the day when Jesus will come again and He will make all things new and He will shatter sin's grip forever with ultimate and eternal finality. We long for that day. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we remember who Jesus is and what He's done, His life, His death, His resurrection. When we come to this Lord's Supper, we have communion with the same Jesus, and therefore we have relationship with God and with each other. And when we come to this Lord's Supper, we proclaim that hope that we have, there's a light that is going to shine in our darkness. His name is Jesus, and He is coming again. And no matter how dark this world gets, no matter how hard these days are, we have this hope that Jesus is going to come again. He will make all things new, and He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be that day when there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. We claim that no matter what happens, Jesus is coming again and all things will be made as they were intended to be. Friends, that's our hope. And we declare that hope when we partake of the Lord's Supper. I'd love to do that with you this morning. So before we do, let's pray together. God, we worship and adore You and glorify You this morning for who You are and all that You have done. We thank You most of all, we worship You most of all this day for the gift of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word who is made flesh for us and our salvation, the light of the world who comes and shines in that darkness, the hope of all nations. We worship You for Jesus Christ. It's in the joy of His resurrection and the expectation of His coming again that we do offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We declare, God, You are a holy, holy, holy God, that all of heaven and all of earth are filled with Your glory. Now this morning, God, as we reflect on the Scripture passage and we come to the Lord's Supper, we remember that Jesus Christ, He died on the cross, setting us free from the bondage of sin once and for all, each one of us, all of our sins washed away through the forgiveness that is offered in His name. We also remember, God, that the tomb that He was placed in 3 days later was empty, and it remains empty until this very day that Jesus rose again, securing life in His name, death forever put to death. And we come to this supper today not only remembering but peeking ahead into the future, longing and hoping with great anticipation for the day in which Jesus will come again, in which He will make all things new. And so we know that even in this moment, as hard as it gets, there is hope. The hope of Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that as we come by Your power and Your presence among us, Holy Spirit, that You would allow us to eat this bread and drink this cup in a way that it would be to us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we would be filled with the grace of God, nourished and strengthened and filled with hope for this day, maybe for this hour, maybe even for this moment. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for who You are, the light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness, our hope. And we conclude this prayer by saying a prayer that has been said by saints throughout the ages who are longing for Your coming again, who are longing for when You would come and make all things whole. We say, Maranatha, come, And come quickly, Lord Jesus. Our hope is in you. Amen. In just a moment, when everything is ready, we will invite you to come. As we do here at Westview, we'll invite these two sections to find their way down to the front through this angled aisle. Same thing on this side, down this angled aisle. There'll be a station of elders in front of every section. You'll cross your section. The elders will be happy to serve you the elements of the Lord's Supper there. You're welcome to take the elements right there or return back to your seats and take them there, whatever's best for you. You'll return back to your seats down the outside or middle aisle here, this aisle right here. If you're unable or uncomfortable coming forward this morning, there will be an elder who will be in the back, and they'll be happy to serve you right where you are. Make sure you just make eye contact with them or raise your hand. They'll be happy to serve you there. And if you're in need of gluten-free bread, I would invite you to come to this station, this section right here. That's where the gluten-free bread will be. We invite all those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe in who He is and who find their hope in Him today. We invite you to come around the Lord's Supper this morning. On the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took bread. And after giving thanks, He broke it and He gave it to His disciples saying, "Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And in the same manner, if they had finished eating supper, Jesus took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant of My blood. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of Me." The bread which we break is to us the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing for which we give thanks is to us the blood of Christ. My friends, these are the gifts of God for you and me, the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. Elders, please come. pray together. God, what a gift it is to come before you in worship, to come at your invitation to your table, to receive grace upon grace, and to be filled with the grace of Jesus Christ, the hope that is in him, to be nourished and strengthened this day. And we pray that as we eat this bread and drink this cup, it is indeed to us your grace filling us with hope, because we know that life is hard. We know that things are difficult. We know that there is darkness in this world that we so often walk in and live in. Help us to continue to be filled with grace so that we can see the light that is dawning, a great light of one who shines in the darkness, a child who will be born, who will be the hope of all nations, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope that is found in him, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.